Jesus is the Son of the living God. He is the only way to the Father. He is the only salvation. Amen. Hallelujah. And He is our healer. He is our deliverer. Hallelujah. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. To break every chain. Demons are subject. Amen. To the name of Jesus Christ. They must flee. Hallelujah. And Lord, we give You the praise. We give You the glory. You have overcome the world. And to You belongs all the glory. Hallelujah. So we pray that You would be glorified, Lord God, in Your people. Hallelujah. That we'll know who we are in You. Amen. And who You are in us. Amen. That we may be about our Father's business in the earth. Amen. God has called us to be ambassadors, representatives of Him. Amen. And so that's what we're here for. Amen. Hallelujah. God is with us. If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. Greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. Amen. So, hallelujah. The devil's a liar. Amen. And you got to quit listening to those lies. You got to start listening to the voice of truth. As the song says, it tells me a different story. The voice of truth says, do not be afraid. Amen. Fear not, for I am with you. And I have redeemed you. And I have called you by my name. Hallelujah. Amen. God's given us His name. Hallelujah. He puts His mark, His stamp upon us. And says, child of God. Amen. Sealed with the precious Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. And said, when you walk through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And through the fire, you shall not be burned. And neither shall the flame kindle upon you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Amen. Jesus is Lord, I declare, over this house. Amen. We declare Jesus is Lord over Shelton, Washington. And He's Lord over all the earth. Amen. He's Lord over Belfair. Amen. Hallelujah. Can anything good come out of Belfair? Yes, absolutely. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. So, God, we thank You again for this time together this morning. Hallelujah. You know, God does not want His people bound by anything. Amen. He does not want us being bound by the devil. Amen. He wants to liberate every captive. Amen. And if people don't believe that freedom is available, they'll continue to walk bound by the devil. Amen. But God came to set the captives free. And Jesus has overcome the world. Amen. The flesh, the devil, the devil is on borrowed time. Amen. Hallelujah. How many know that His bark is bigger than His bite? Amen. And God keeps Him on a leash, by the way. And it's a short leash. If you belong to Jesus, amen, then you have been given the authority, amen, to rebuke Him and to command Him out of your life. Amen. And you don't take no for an answer. Amen. Because Jesus has authorized you. And He has all authority in heaven and on earth. So therefore we go in His name. Amen. And I decree the captives are being set free. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We're no longer bound by sin. No longer bound by shame. No longer bound by guilt. Amen. No longer bound by the devil. And the power of sin has been broken. Jesus overcame it all. He has won the victory. He has overcome it all. Hallelujah. And so to God be the glory. Hallelujah. For the great things He has done. Jesus is Lord of all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And He's coming to rule. He's coming to reign over all the earth. Hallelujah. Amen. In that day, there won't be any more foolishness. Amen. For the sovereign King, the King of Kings, is going to come and reign over all the kings of the earth. Amen. All the small k's. Hallelujah. And every knee is going to bow. Amen. Even those who today would defy the King. Amen. That day is coming when they will, including Lucifer himself, he will bow to the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So we serve the Most High God. Hallelujah. And how many know that in His love, there is no fear? Amen. When the love of God is shed abroad in your heart, you're not afraid of the devil. You're not afraid of the boogeyman. You can go to sleep at night, amen? You can lay your head down on your pillow and know God is with me, God has got it, amen? And if the devil tries to interfere with things, you just take authority over him in Jesus' name, amen? Put him in his place and say, you're illegal. You're not welcome in my sleep, amen? God wants us free. Amen. And as we are walking in freedom, we're going to be in position to help others get set free. Amen. So it's for this reason he came. Amen. To deliver us from the evil one, from Satan's power, his reign, his influence. We are under new management today. New ownership. Amen. We serve the Most High. And those who are under the authority of the Most High, under the shadow of the Almighty, amen, can then exercise authority. Amen. But you got to stay under his authority. The Bible says, submit yourself to God and then resist the devil. And he will what? So don't resist the devil unless you're submitted to God. Amen. But if you submit to God, then you can resist the devil and he will flee. Hallelujah. Paul shared a couple weeks ago a message at the men's breakfast. He's our men's director, if you didn't know, and also one of the elders here. And it was so good, I thought, man, you know, that would be a great message for Sunday morning. And I've got a little bit of a cold that I'm on the other end of, but I don't want to get into a coughing spell and freak everybody out, okay? So I thought, you know what, I've been looking for kind of a time and opportunity, and I thought this would be great. And I felt led to just to have Paul share the word with us this morning. So give it up for Paul as he comes in Jesus' name.
Thank you. So anybody in the house is glad to be in the house of the Lord today, give them a big amen.
Amen.
Amen. So I'm both honored and thank God for the opportunity to break his word with you today. You know, it's a message that he provided me, and it's a message for all to hear, I believe. You know, I'll start off with a question. Historically, what sport is called America's favorite pastime?
Baseball.
Amen. Baseball. Go Mariners. You know, baseball has been part of the nation's favorite pastime for over 165 years, they say. You know, I don't know about you, if you're like me. I grew up in my neighborhood as a kid playing baseball with the other kids, enjoyed it. And as I got older and had a couple adopted boys, I got to coach them for several years in Pee Wee League and T-ball and all that. And 1980, I joined the fire department, and they had a fireman's little league team that we sponsored, and I had the privilege of coaching them for several years, and even taking them to state championships where we placed second, and you know that was quite an honor. As a 12-year-old, I remember having a paper route, and I won Paper Boy of the Month. And part of that deal was I got free tickets to a Major League Baseball team that was local called the Milwaukee Braves. And that was a great honor. I even got my picture taken with their catcher at the time. So for a 12-year-old, that was quite an honor and quite a deal. But, you know, in baseball, it's baseball season right now. And I've been watching a lot of the games, and even Dale and I, we text back and forth giving our opinions on what's going on, whether it's good or bad. And I'm wearing my Mariners shirt this morning, because I want to take you all out to the ballpark. You know, well, so the title of this message is take me out to the ball game. And it may seem a little odd to you to have a title like that for a Sunday morning, but if you remember, Jesus preached about many earthly things, didn't he? And they had heavenly messages with them. So I want to share with you how I see the game of baseball compares to our Christian walk with God. You know, there won't be a seventh inning stretch today, and I don't have any Cracker Jacks and peanuts for you to munch on, but we're going to have a good time together. Amen. So, a baseball player, his main goal is to be the best that he can be for the team. Amen. He wants to be a good hitter so he can hopefully get a base hit and reach home plate and with the help from his team, maybe even hit a home run. You know, and his ultimate goal is to be the best of the best and be recognized for that at some day, be rewarded, maybe even inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. You know, one way I see the game of baseball likened to our Christian walk with God is that they both require some things. The first is commitment, self-discipline, teamwork, and lots of perseverance. You know, it takes that to get on base. It takes that to reach home plate. And our home plate is what? Heaven. That's our goal to reach. So, but if you really think about it, the game of baseball is a exercise in managing failure. Why do I say that? Well, you know, if you have ever kind of looked at the statistics, you know, when a batter gets up to play, he doesn't always get on base, does he? Doesn't always hit a home run. So it's a futility in failure at times, because the average is, even for the best players that have gotten inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame, 100 times at bat, 70 times they've failed to get on base. They've got struck out. So that's a great failure. Do we have failures like that in our walk with God? Yep. Amen, we do. You know, we have a goal ourselves, walking with Christ, and that's to reach that home plate. But we have to go through failures, just like as baseball players do. You know, and if you said no to yourself that you haven't had any failures, I'll be willing to pray with you up here after the service, amen. You know, baseball teaches players some great, wonderful things. Every Christian should desire to have those same attributes, those same characteristics. And they are patience. Lord, teach me patience. Ask my wife about that. Humility and perseverance. You know, patience is the capacity within ourselves to endure delays, frustrations, and suffering without becoming angry or anxious. Humility is a modest view of our own importance. which we must have. Amen. We compared to the importance of being part of a team. Perseverance, then, is the steadfast and continuous effort to achieve a goal despite our difficulties, despite our failures, despite any opposition that we face, and viewing failure as only temporary. Amen? Galatians 6:9 says this, "So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessings if we what? If we do not give up." You know, in baseball, dwelling on a strikeout or a bobble ball or a bad call from the umpire can ruin and really affect the next play that we have to do. Amen? If the player threw a fit every time that he struck out or made an error, what kind of mindset would that give him for the next pitch or the next ball that could come his way? You know, no, they have to focus on what they did and strive to do better the next time. Anybody here have to do that today? Amen. So in comparison, our walk with God teaches us to learn from our mistakes, doesn't it? And repent of them. You know, we have, just like they do, we have to focus on the present, not the future, not the past. We have to focus on the next pitch, the next challenge that will be thrown at us. You know, past, and not think about the past errors that we made. The enemy would love, he throws that in your mind all the time. You remember when you done this? Oh, it's just going to happen again. There's no sense in trying to improve your walk with God. Amen? So, we as Christians, we can't throw a tantrum either. We can't lose our minds every time things don't go our way. Or if we get some bad news. You know, we get all anxious. That's where the doubt and the fear start trailing into our minds. Amen. Psalms 112, verses 6 and 7. I'm going to read it out of the English Standard Version. And it's a good scripture for right here. "For the righteous will never be moved. He is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm and trusting in the Lord." You know, when a fielder makes an error, you know, every watching eye sees it. And it's flashed on the big screen for everyone to see, isn't it? You know, it'll say E4 or E9, depending on the position that they're playing. And they even replay it for a couple more times to show everybody. So there's nowhere to hide from it. You know, they goofed. They know it. And every onlooker in the stands and on television know it too, don't they? You know, the player he's got to own his mistake. You know, and he has to persevere and prepare himself to do better for the next pitch, the next ball comes his way, whatever it is. You know, baseball is a game of second chances through their patience and their humility and their perseverance. It's not over when he strikes out or makes an error. You know, the coach is going to put him back in. He has a chance to redeem himself. You know, it's the same with our errors, with our mistakes and our sins. Everyone is watching. They like to watch Christians to see what they're going to do, how we handle our position in Christ, and how we handle the things that are thrown at us, the things that are pitched at us almost daily. Amen? So when we make an error, when we sin, we must, like them, own it. We must confess it and seek grace to turn from it so that we will not do it again. Do we get second chances in our lives? Of course we do. You know, when we confess our blunders, our goofs, and our loving God, He erases them like they never happened. You know, because He sacrificed His life on Calvary's cross already to make up for our errors that He knew we would have. So, how many of you would agree with me when I say Jesus was the master teacher and preacher? He was. He, in so many ways, Jesus was the master teacher and preacher. He often used common everyday things and experiences such as fishing or farming and other things to share stories to teach others a valuable lesson. So, my iPad's going crazy here. So, he taught many things that he taught were in the form of parables. And remember the parable of the coin? How about the parable of the lost sheep? He also spoke in, and he spoke in parables. They had a heavenly meaning. They talked about earthly things, but I really lost my place here, sorry. So, legendary Los Angeles Dodgers manager, Tommy Lasorda, he had this to say. He said, there are three types of baseball players. Those who watch it happen, those who make it happen, and those who wonder what happened. You know, the same could be said for Christians today. Amen. You know, this morning I want to share with you a parable of sorts. And it's the parable about three different types of baseball fans that I see. The first I will call the spectator. So the earthly story on that would be this fan just loves being at the game. He loves being at the ballpark. All week long, that's all he thinks about is, a couple more days I get to go watch the game. I get to be there. He's all excited. He loves the smell of the grass and the sound of the crack of the bat when it hits the ball. He loves the taste of the hot dogs and the peanuts and the Cracker Jacks. He loves to hear the crowd cheering when his team is doing well. But, you know, the whole atmosphere just takes on a completely exhilarating time for him. You know, he doesn't care if he isn't playing on the team. He just wants to be there. And, you know, he would rather sit back and watch because that is enough for him. You know, I think this type of fan even feels that if he faithfully shows up for every game, that somehow he's going to be recognized, that somehow he's going to be rewarded for his faithful attendance. You know, maybe even inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame for fans, if there was such a thing. You know, it doesn't matter to him that he's never picked up a bat or a glove or a ball, never played in a game. He just believes that if he is faithfully allows himself to go to every game, that he's going to be rewarded. You know, the heavenly meaning here is this. Many who call themselves Christians are fans like him. You know, they just love being in church. They look forward to going to church on Sundays. They love the worship. And singing and raising their hands and shouting hallelujah. They love the fellowship with other people. They even love hearing the message. But they don't really want to make any commitment to be part of the team. Amen? You see, there are fans of Jesus and there are followers of Jesus. You know, fans of Jesus would rather just sit and watch. They enjoy the results of others' work and simply sit back and life play out. You know, just being at church is enough for them. While a follower, or I would call it a disciple of Jesus, has moved beyond watching and committed placing Jesus at the center of their life. They are actually being active in their Christian walk and becoming a team member, as they should. The Christian life requires active participation, doesn't it? And not just watching from the pews. Not just being on the sidelines of everything that's going on. James 1:22 says this, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." You know, the truth is that there is no reward. There's no hall of fame for spectators. You know, we cannot assume that if we simply show up for church every Sunday that we are going to be recognized and have a guaranteed trip to heaven. Amen? Ephesians 2:8-9. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." You know, the Word of God is pretty clear here. And it just doesn't work the way that fan would want it. You know, we must join the team. Amen? And we must accept Christ as our Savior, confessing Him, repenting, and walking with Him daily. You know, we must be a team player. You know, serving Christ in our lives and hanging around with other Christians and serving others and telling them about Jesus. We got to train ourselves. You know, baseball players have to train. We have to train ourselves through prayer, through daily Bible reading, and through evangelism, telling others about Jesus. You know, when we do those things, God's grace is alive in us, and we are bound for our hall of fame. Heaven bound. Amen. The next fan I would call a bench warmer. You know, the earthly story there is he used to be a spectator, but he decided to join the team. He wanted to be in the game instead of watching a game. But then he saw how hard it was to be a big leaguer, to be part of the team. He found out he had to quit many of his old bad habits. He had to stretch and exercise every day. He had to work on his fielding, his throwing, and batting for hours. He had to learn baseball strategy. He had to play almost every day, and he had to listen to his coach. So this fan decided he just wasn't going to practice as much. You know, he wouldn't stay in shape, and he wouldn't always listen to the coach. This fan didn't care to sit on the bench and watch his teammates do all the work, but it just fit him a lot better. You know, it was a great fit, and because he could still be on the team and not do all the work. To any fan like him, it would be a perfect solution. And unfortunately, there are many fans out there just like the one I described. The heavenly meaning here is many Christians are just like that fan. There are those who start off all excited to be part of the team, all excited to be part of Jesus, and they want to be a light for him. You know, so they come forward. They've confessed their sins and immersed themselves into their walk with Christ to turn their life around. But after they joined the team, became a Christian, they found out that they've got some work to do. It's not just automatic. You know, as Christians, we are part of a team, the church, and we need to work together, don't we? 1 Corinthians 3:9. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building. You know, so those kind of fans, they see in order to grow as a Christian, they had to do some things. They had to read God's word daily. They had to spend time in prayer daily. Leave their old ways behind. Answer to the coach, Christ. And to serve and witness to others about Jesus. For many Christians, it's just too much work to grow. So for many, it's just easier and better to be what I call pew warmers. There's bench warmers and there's pew warmers. They sit back in the pews and watch their teammates, their brothers and sisters in Christ, do all the work. You know, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your what? Your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall what? Direct your paths. Amen. You know, how many know that Jesus is our head coach, our manager of the team, who guides our strategy in our walk with him daily? We rely on the Holy Spirit, another coach that he's provided for us. Amen. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You know, a baseball player when he gets up to bat, he has to keep an eye on his coach, because his coach is going to give him signs and wonder and for what he wants him to do while he's at bat. You know, in the same way, we must follow our coach's directions. Amen. Watch for his signals that he may give us on what we should be doing next, other than doing things our own way. When we become Christians, we can't always have it our way. Not only do bench warmers not make it into the Hall of Fame, they won't stay on the team very long. You know, when you and if you and I were decided to grow as Christians in a different way and not go through all the work, we're not going to be on the team for very long either, are we? You know, because we will no longer be allowing the grace of Christ to penetrate and change our lives. You know, it should be a wake-up call for many Christians today, you know, that they need to get off the bench, get out of their pew, start training, step up to the plate, and be ready to be a home run hitter for Christ. Amen. Amen. And that is my third fan I want to talk about, the home runner hitter for Christ. You know, the earthly story here is this fan loves being on the team. He is willing to do whatever it takes to be a better baseball player, a better teammate, a better Christian. His passion is in life is to make the coach proud of him and to be the best team player that he can be. He is determined to work however hard he has to in order to do that. Put aside some things that he would rather be doing and concentrate on being that the best he can be. Doesn't matter what it costs or what it takes, if it means that he can become that home run hitter, but an asset to the team. You know, and as he continues to be faithful to the coach and the team, he knows that one day he can be rewarded, that he can be recognized. The heavenly meaning here is many Christians have answered the call of God and are serving him and others faithfully, aren't they? You know, they are growing every day. Their goal is to become more like Jesus. You know, even though it might cost a lot of their time, a lot of their energy, that they go through struggles and perseverance, it is worth it to them. 1 Corinthians 9:25. Paul says here, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to what? To get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Amen. You know, our spiritual growth requires intentional effort, intentional habits, and dedication to everything that we're doing. They're talking about the athletes back in Corinth today, and they would, when they competed and they won at their particular event, they would get a wreath or made out of leaves or flowers or whatever it was, and perishable. I mean, it was temporary, but the crown that we're looking for is everlasting. Amen. You know, moving on, is during the seventh inning stretch, they sing what? Take me out to the ball game. I promised I wouldn't make you sing it. So, but the last verse says this: for it's 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out at the old ball game. You know, in baseball, 3 strikes means you are out. Go sit in the dugout. You know, what if that was true for our eternity? You know, what if every sin was a strike and God called us out after 3? You know, in our walk with Christ, three strikes means we are still in. Amen? You know, God doesn't tell us to go back to the dugout and stay there after three strikes. You know, after we have messed up, after we have goofed. No, because it's because of His amazing grace. He forgives us, and He's not willing that any should perish. Amen? So we have second chances. We have third chances. Without the grace of God, we would have perished a long time ago, wouldn't we? Even when we mess up, God is still there to give us another chance. We have a God who's not, like I said, He's not willing that any should perish. So, you know, I ask you this morning, are you a fan or are you a home run hitter for Jesus? You know, a fan is the one who knows the commands of Jesus. He attends church, but has a fan mentality. He cheers when the things go well, but not truly committed. A home run hitter is one who lives their life devoted to Jesus and seeking to serve Him and others. Dedicated and committed team player rather than just a spectator. So we need to examine our lives this morning. Which one are you? We need to step out of the dugout. We need to step up to the plate and go to bat for Jesus, don't we? Too many times, too many Christians sit on the sidelines of life and watch as spectators when others are actively moving forward with things that they should be doing. I'm here to tell you that our walk with Christ is not a spectator sport. And it's time for many Christians to step out of being pew warmers and do something new for the kingdom of God. Amen? You've got to step out of the dugout. You've got to step out of your pew. You've got to step out of your hurt. Step out of your unforgiveness. Out of your whatever it is that's holding you back. And step up to the plate and start swinging your bat for Jesus. Amen. Life's going to throw you some curveballs. And you might strike out a few times. But you have to stay in the batter's box and keep swinging away for Jesus. Amen. He's already standing there with you. He's at home plate. So you need to keep stepping up. You need to trust Him with your swing and leave the results in His capable hands. Part of Hebrews 12:1 says this, "Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus." You know, when you swing the bat of faith, you aren't playing for your own glory. You're playing for His. Amen. I'll close with this morning. Maybe this morning you are struggling with something in your life that is holding you back from committing to be the team player that God wants you to be. You know, maybe there is some fear, some unresolved hurt or unforgiveness that is standing between you and getting across home plate. If that is you, I say today is the time to take care of that. Now is the time to turn it over to Jesus. It's time to step out of your, out of it. Time to step up to the plate for Jesus. And I tell you, if He is calling you, come. Just as Peter, when he went to step out on the water, he said, Lord, if it is truly You, tell me to come. And that was Jesus' word, come. And Peter had the faith to do that. Today, if you need more faith to get through whatever is holding you back, I say come, and we will pray. Lord, we thank You for Your word today, Lord. Lord, we want to be home run hitters for You, Lord. Lord, I know Your word went out this morning and touched the hearts that needed to hear it, Lord, because Your word says so. I pray that ears were opened to listen and that hearts were open to receive. And I say, if you received that this morning, then you need to take care of some situations in your life, just to come and we will pray. Hallelujah. Thank you.
And thank you for that awesome word. Brings it home. You know, the Lord is calling us all to gather with Him. He said those who don't gather end up scattering. So we're here to gather. We're here to build. We're here to advance the kingdom of our God. And He has empowered us by His Spirit. He makes available to us all the grace we need to accomplish His mission.
Amen.
And I'm with you, brother. We step up to the plate. We're going to give it our best. Amen. We only have but a window of opportunity in this life. A short, very time, don't we have? A short time. Let's make the most of the time we have. Amen. And let's live for Jesus. Would you stand? Hallelujah. Just in your own way, you can just speak to Jesus right now. Say, Lord, here am I. Send me.
Yes.
I want to be a team player. Lord, I want to recommit my life to You and to Your mission, to Your plans for my life, Lord. And I ask You to give me the grace, Lord God. Lord, to be at least a base hitter. Hallelujah. To make an impact, to make a difference in this world for You. Use me for Your glory, Lord. Empower me by Your Holy Spirit, Lord. Cleanse me from all sin. Wash me in Your precious blood. Make me holy. Make me clean, Jesus. And deliver me from the evil one. And raise me up, Lord God, in the power of Your might. Strengthen me, Lord, with might in the inner man by Your Spirit. Lord, we ask You to make us strong in Your might. Hallelujah. That we can fight the good fight of faith, Lord God. We're looking to You, the author and the finisher of our faith, the one who's waiting at the end. Lord, in that day we want to see You smiling and hear You say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Hallelujah. That You might receive glory and a return for all that You did at the cross for us. And all that You do for us every day. Thank You for Your goodness, Lord. I thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.